Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The Booze and Book Club is hitting the road. Saturday, March 30th in San Diego. Join me, Mike Dawson, as I read a chapter from Richard Stanley's Up on Game. Having a cell phone was only a contraband write-up in prison at the time. If you were found in possession of a cell, it was 30 days added to your sentence that you could in turn get back if you were disciplinary free for 90 days and a short stay in the hole, usually 2 weeks to a month. Shit, I could do that. Richard robbed 13 banks in San Diego, did 8 years in prison for it, and now has turned his life around. Join us Saturday, March 30th at 2 p.m. at Thorn Brewing in Barrio Logan. Enjoy the Corolla Drinks Mangria signature cocktail, the Lederhosen, and hang out with Richard the Skinny Bandit Stanley. This event is free, but please register at boozeandbookclub.com. And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Hashtag Jew hater Omar strikes again.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
This half brought to you by TommyJohn.com/Adam and Simply Safe Adam.com. All right, banks bracket madness. Yeah. God, I highlighted a great James Woods. I favorite tweeted a great James Woods or one's coming up, but
they're all great.
Sonny takes it to another level.
But when he goes with the mom stuff, it's always the best.
And I gotta still remind you that every time you like it, people think you like it because you support it. So
it's probably only half. Yeah. Banks bracket madness. What do you got?
Welcome back to Banks Bracket Madness, where there have been more upsets and disappointments than at MSNBC when the Mueller report came out. Your votes last round said that Adam Yells screamed its way into the Sweet 16 over Merry Christmas August. And in our catch-all conference, 2000 podcasts surprised no one by driving over Honky Avenue and into the Sweet 16. Up first today is a matchup between two hilarious songs about rape. In 2006, Jack Silver demanded that there be more cooch talk on the morning show and gave T PTSD. Here's one for you, Teresa.
Soon I find I'm in a rape shower in my mind, where I can scrub and scrub and scrub all day, but still after his cooch attack. You can see
love that one. Cooch attack. Took a rape shower in her mind. I take partial credit for that because I love that. That stupid. The real version of that song was a top 10.
Would it be considered a novelty song?
Not when it was a top 10 song in 1974, whatever the hell it was. All right, Dawson.
Next up, former news girl Allison made the mistake of telling us about a strange dream that she had, where she was raped in a very Italian way.
When she closes her eyes, she gets raped by a guy in lasagna. By a big hairy man in a big greasy pan of lasagna. In her dream, she will try to scream, "Hey, get off of me, you fat, sweaty fella." And he'll say, "I will have my way, and what I just sprayed, that was not mozzarella." In her dreams, she gets screwed in Garfield's favorite food, it's lasagna. By a lady in cheese, pasta, red sauce, and meat, it's a crime. She's just helpless asleep while he's going balls deep in punani. Too bad she could not flee, raped by Chef Boyardee in lasagna.
Wow. That was pretty great.
Lyrically, Garfield's favorite
Garfield's
food.
Garfield's favorite food.
Strong, man. Man, this is tough.
Yeah.
Our next battle features two songs from the Old Man Conference, dedicated to the male staff that's been with Adam since the beginning. First up, a song about Mike August that's a parody of a song by his lesbian doppelganger.
August, the stoned pelican, always leaves his plate clean. If it's true you are what you eat, then fighting a squirrel for a fry. Constant grazing, he's always eating. Crazy. Oh, good.
Chances, I never even thought of it this way, but when I met James Baby Doll Dixon and Mike August, I like showed up at the same time, and I was like, "You're Karen Allen, you're Katie Lang." And there's a lot of dudes that look like other dudes, yeah. But both these guys who were a team look like other chicks.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. And then the part that always confuses me is when people go, "Never heard that before." I'm like, "You look exactly like Karen Allen." From
Indy?
Yeah, Indiana Jones and also Animal House, right?
Yeah, the girlfriend.
Yeah, right. The girlfriend, and that's Baby Doll, and he looks like Katie Lang.
Now, which one's either the bigger compliment or insult? You look like an attractive woman, or you look like an unattractive woman that looks like a man?
Yeah, I think I'd rather look like Karen Allen.
Okay.
All right, so we got one more?
Facing off against that is a tune about a truck and a teenage Brian.
Yes.
Breaker, breaker, this is Bald Eagle's uncle. I got a 13-year-old bald kid throwing his hammer down in the back of my semi. Forget about Smokies. Look out for Spoogies. Over.
Roger that, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive. Looks like we got a horny young bald boy.
Way back in 91 on a long-haul run in a Kenworth hauling logs. Got my nephew back in my sleeper cab and he's pulling on his hog. Had a full load in my trailer and one all over my sheets. All I could hear was the whine of those retread tires and Bald Brian slapping his meat.
Cause I'm driving with a horny bald boy, jerking it through the night. Yeah, this horny little bald boy's painting my sleeper cab white. 13-year-old bald boy, ain't nothing getting in his way. I'm driving with a jerking bald boy across the USA. Bald boy.
Breaker 1-9, it's Bald Eagle's uncle again. You got your ears on? Roger, Eagle's uncle, what's your 20? Rolling down I-4-0. I got a smoky on my mud flaps, and I think I got some jizz on the back of my trucker cap. Over and out.
God, this stuff is so
it's based on a true story.
Good, I know, and it's all inspired by something that happened.
And I'm biased because that's one of my favorite songs of all time. Wow. So that's going to be a tough one to beat.
Better than CB Savage?
Oh, I love CB Savage.
Thank you.
I really think that's hilarious.
All right, you guys got to vote.
I should point out that's not accurate. I wasn't bald at 13.
Going.
Go to AdamCarolla.com and cast a very difficult vote to see which of those songs advance to the next round of Banks Bracket Madness.
Now I want to hear CB Savage.
All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John, then we'll roll into some news. Men and women love Tommy John. I wear these things. I'm wearing them right now.
Let's see, are you? My burgundy.
Purple,
yeah.
Burgundy ones. I wear the undershirts. Am I wearing the undershirts? Yes, I am wearing
Heather Gray
shirt.
One.
I wear the dress shirt last time I did Kimmel. It's just the best. You won't go back. And they have the new Air collection for the ladies, quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, and visible panty line guaranteed, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. The stuff is good. I say when you get the underwear for the fellas, I get the one that goes down the leg a little longer. Great for taking the dog out for a walk, riding a bike, working out, whatever. It's the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So this is something that was breaking literally as we were walking in the door today, and this is what they just reported. I believe this is the Wall Street Journal. Yes, Chris? Okay. So attorney Michael Avenatti, who seized the spotlight last year as a lawyer for adult film actress Stormy Daniels, was arrested Monday and charged in two federal cases with wire fraud, bank fraud, and attempting to extort more than $20 million from Nike. So there's a couple of things. This is how they break down. The first one, the U.S. Attorney's Office in L.A. alleged in a criminal complaint that Mr. Avenatti embezzled a client's money to pay his own expenses, cover his own debts, including for his law firm and coffee business, and defrauded a bank using phony tax returns. Then, at the same time, federal prosecutors in Manhattan charged Mr. Avenatti with extortion and conspiracy, alleging he told lawyers for Nike that he and an unnamed co-conspirator would release damaging info about the company if Nike didn't make millions of dollars in payments, according to a complaint unsealed Monday in Manhattan federal court.
Hey, can I say this? Yeah. I know there's much more to go here. Mm-hmm. First off, remember this guy was a hero for like 7 weeks? He was like a hero.
Yeah,
like,
I
turn on The View and it's like, I'd marry him and have his children. Like, really? Because you represent? I know you hate the president, but that... Right. You hate, everyone hates the president.
The
Why is this
enemy?
Guy a hero? Yeah. Like, he seems like a scary dude and he represents a porn star. Like,
he might not be a paradigm of virtue.
But anyway, the other part is whether you're Nike or Letterman or whoever, you want to know what you, publicists, please listen. There's this new thing which is, you go out and you do something, and then somebody tries to blackmail you, and then you get out ahead of it, and you do what Letterman did. It's like, I had a fuck room upstairs off my office, and these people are trying to extort money from me because of it. And now you go out and get the real criminals, and everyone goes, huh? Oh, yeah, go okay, get them. Go get them. And then they go, what about you and your...
What about the fuck room?
No further questions. Moving on. And we all... Do that.
Yeah.
So if you ever get busted with a 9-year-old or you're on top of a farm animal or something and someone has a picture of it, you release it. You then say somebody was trying to blackmail you and everyone's ire immediately shifts to whoever the blackmailing was and not the crime, which ostensibly was good enough to blackmail somebody. Like, hey, we got the goods on this person. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It every time it happens that someone is going to be blackmailed for the affair or for the underage whatever or the sex and the whatever or the paying off college kids to play for teams and in this in college or whatever that is, we only have room for so much outrage. So we decide, like, should we be outraged that Nike is allegedly paying kids to play in
or
what about Avenatti? And we just shift over there. Like, Letterman was banging assistants or two or three, and nobody, none the worse for wear, because we were outraged that he was being blackmailed.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
What about the sex room?
Wait, hold on. We're focusing on the blackmail over here. Yeah.
Sorry, I got here late.
So digging a little bit deeper, the allegations related to Nike arose out of Mr. Avenatti's representation of a client identified in the complaint as the coach of an amateur men's basketball program in California, which prosecutors said had a sponsorship agreement with Nike. And as Wall Street Journal says, the co-conspirator in that matter is attorney Mark Garagus. Two people familiar with the matter said Mr. Garagus couldn't be reached for comment. Nike and other apparel companies have in recent years been drawing scrutiny for their sponsorship of these amateur basketball leagues. And last year, a former Adidas AG executive was convicted at trial in Manhattan for steering bribe payments to the families of youth basketball players.
I was just talking about this with Mike Stone Pelican and Sonny Santino Carolla, because they all love hoop. And I think he was explaining that his LSU coach was just canned because he's like on the phone being recorded by the FBI. Talking about a blue chip prospect and saying, what do you mean? We made a great offer. You know, like sort of insulted that they made a great offer to the kid. Right. How come he's
going elsewhere?
How come he's going to Duke, you know? And it was explained that, and think about it, Zion and guys like this, you get them for one season now. And they're not interested in getting their 4-year degree. So what difference does it make to them? They all come from poverty. So who's going to cut me the best check? I'll go there for 1 year. I don't have to attend class, and then I'll go to the show. They should probably just let him go from high school to pro to eliminate this sort of
one and done, they call it.
Or cut him in. I mean, the schools are making millions and millions and millions, so who cares? Cut him in.
I agree. Or something. You've created a system that almost has to foster this. And the second... Just one college, like the second Kentucky goes, we do pay our guys a little bit to come all right. You must do it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Kentucky gets every great blue chip recruit, right?
Yeah, the floodgates are open.
Yeah.
Right.
So I imagine you'll at least try. Mark will talk about this, won't talk about this.
I'll speak truthfully as a friend of Mark, and I haven't talked to him about this. The no comment part scares me a little bit because Mark
always has a comment.
Likes the comment. And normally gets on some sort of apple crate and explains that whoever's going to rue the day that they pointed a finger at him.
I saw the Michael Jackson documentary.
Yes.
Like a ton of bricks.
And we're going to come back after you. So the radio silence part is not promising, but I will find out.
You knock on the door with a bottle of Don Julio and get some answers.
That's all you got to do.
So I have a natty. Oh, and I think I was. I can't remember if I was telling you guys. Oh, no, I don't think I was telling you guys this. There was a tweet and an article going around that said Kaepernick and Eric Reed got paid under $10 million. Did I say we're talking about
I saw
this?
That, but it didn't come up on the show.
You did Unreasonable Doubt.
I did Unreasonable Doubt. I can't remember if I brought it up to you guys. Anyway, I brought that up. Mm-hmm. So it was like an article. There's no information. It's radio silence, and then 3 weeks later is an article. Mm-hmm. They got paid under $10 million as a settlement for the Kaepernick thing from the league, from NFL. I said to Gergis, what about it? He said, I cannot say, but I sent that article to my partner, Ben, to say we should send this to the state franchise tax bureau and go, all right, what do you get? What's 40% of $10
million? Right.
As a joke, which basically means... Up. A lot more than that. And he wishes he was paying tax on $10 million. And this guy that wrote the article knows nothing. Mm. You just write an article now. Yeah.
Probably got a friendly, tip. I'm making air quotes tip from, someone at the NFL, like, oh, we only paid these guys so and so. You know what I mean?
There's
sort of back
channels. This guy had just written an article about something else too that was a little really interesting. Max Ray, you can find that exchange. Maybe we'll play it for tomorrow or something like that. But there's something going. And also, in a world where there is no information, one guy just has to go, hey, I have it on on good sources. It's $10 million or under.
Sure.
And then we all go, well, that's all we got for now.
That's what he said.
So that's what we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, because there is still so much about this report that hasn't been released, Attorney General William Barr made key findings public on Sunday regarding special counsel Robert Mueller's long-awaited report. In it, Mueller found that neither Trump nor any of his aides colluded with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. Though Mueller's team did not exonerate Trump, Barr and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said the special counsel's team didn't have enough evidence to prove that Trump committed a crime and that the Department of Justice would not pursue charges. And meanwhile, according to USA Today, none of Mueller's underlying evidence was released, and federal and state investigations into the president's business organizations, his charitable foundation, the hush money during the campaign, and his inaugural committee, that's all still continuing. But as far as the Russian collusion, that sounds like case closed.
Yeah, never. First off, I just assume we would have gotten something leaked. In a world where everything gets leaked, all these bits and pieces, we got nothing good over the last 2 years. And I don't know if it's tight-lipped. I was assuming there wasn't any there because we weren't getting anything. Like, we usually get some morsels and some tidbits, And we did, in a world where we know everything all the time, there wasn't anything there. And then... there was that story about the Russians and the Russians sort of hacking in and buying, trying to stir up Black Lives Matters and Antifa and white supremacists and stuff. And that kind of made sense because it worked. Like everyone got, but anyway, it was funny that I was watching. It's an interesting time we're living in because we're living in a time where you find out that a certain percentage of our society and people on TV find out that the Jussie Smollett case is a hoax and are disappointed. Like, they're like, oh, man.
Yes, and everyone should be thrilled about that, except for Jussie.
Right. Like, hey, we're not living in a land where a gay guy goes to the subway at night and gets attacked viciously by two strangers. So good on you. Like, that's a good thing. But they were disappointed. And I was watching Real Time. I always screw that up. But I was watching Bill Maher's show. And... they didn't have the news. They didn't have that part of the news, but not all the news yet. But Mar was very disappointed that there wasn't anything good in there. And he said something funny. But his guest, the female, Max Zapata, if you have it.
Evelyn Farkas.
Evelyn Farkas. She had a very funny response to it. And I found it very interesting. And I'll play it. Out loud, where she obviously was wishing there was something bad. Of course, everyone wishes everyone who's against Trump wishes there was something bad in there for sort of for reasons that are a little more superficial. Big version, we should hope that we weren't hacked by the Russians or he's compromised or a double agent or a Manchurian candidate. But her, she had this funny reaction, which is, all right, the news isn't great, although it is great news. But go ahead. Sorry, Max Banner.
Though add something, yeah. I don't think we should be all doom and gloom. We don't know what's in
it.
And he might actually paint a really.
All right. It's funny. She said we shouldn't be all doom and gloom.
It's kind of revealing.
It's not doom and gloom. It's no coordination with Russia.
You're like, showing your hand.
It's funny that she used doom and gloom. Like we shouldn't be all doom and gloom. Like we just got a quarterly report down and we're down 25%. Like we shouldn't be all doom and gloom over him not. Being a
double agent?
A puppet of Putin. That was a funny tell where she went, we shouldn't be all doing
I think
gloom.
You're tipping your pitches.
Bill Maher said something funny at the beginning, which is another, it's a little bit of a slippery slope. Well, so I'll play a Bill Maher's clip. He said, this is Friday night. So once again, there was the report, the Mueller report, and then there was a secondary thing that was some synopsis that was released on Saturday, and here's what he said.
Did the Democrats put too much trust in the Mueller report? Because I don't need the Mueller report to know he's a traitor. I have a TV.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that is kind of the problem when it's 24/7 coverage on Russian collusion, and you watch it for 2 years, then you don't need a report. Yeah.
You have
what Rachel Maddow told you. But that can be, that's another little bit of a slippery slope.
Well, and speaking of Rachel Maddow, that was the first thing that jumped in my mind. Remember, was it 2 years ago when she said it was a breaking news? We got this secret envelope in the mail. I'm going to reveal it after the break. And everybody tuned in.
Oh,
and
right.
It was like a Xerox of his tax returns that he probably sent her himself.
It was a one-page summary.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah,
it was less than nothing.
I'm trying to think if the Democrats, I know the impulse is we're going to keep looking till we find something, and I'm sure there's plenty to find.
Well, there's other stuff in the report.
But if they spend too much time on it, I think they're going to torpedo their chances for the next election cycle. I just feel like start putting that policy out there, start talking. I would sort of run on the, do you want more of this? Mm-hmm. Do you want more of this just chaos? Or can we just get back to, you know, at pre-Trump?
It'd be like a car company pointing out, like, running negative ads against Volkswagen. Like, oh, they faked their emissions and blah, blah, blah. No, tell us how it's good about your car.
Right.
We understand that's problematic and probably won't consider them for my next car. Why should I buy your car?
I feel that way as well. All right, so everyone's under investigation, man.
Speaking of which.
Oh, no. What's your nut?
Robert Kraft.
Oh.
He has issued his first statement after pleading not guilty to the massage parlor incident, according to ESPN. And that statement is an apology. He says, I am truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers.
Is anyone ever sorry after an orgasm if they don't get caught?
That's the question.
So I'll just think about that for a second. I don't think anyone is. No one is sorry.
I feel shame, but sorrow, that's different.
Yeah.
Existential, maybe, but not this.
I feel bad about what I am, who I become.
By the way, you didn't hurt anyone. You just stared at a Playboy air freshener.
Yeah, see, so what's the problem? You're right. I feel liberated.
That's right.
He says, my close friends, my coworkers, are fans who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Kraft has a court date on Thursday. If convicted, he faces 1 year in prison. Beyond
what year is it? I'm flummoxed here. These crimes, especially the sort of consensual ones, were like, well, I'll pay you. Will you do this? Now, if he's at all involved with the trafficking of human beings, well, then that's another story. And then folks could go, well, he is. And he's not knowingly, but he's using the service that, although I feel like the rub and tug, it has been around for time immemorial, right? I mean, like, it's not like you need to import people into Florida.
It's the world's worst profession.
Give it a tug, right? Yeah,
I guess not.
Yeah, couldn't find good Floridians.
Yeah.
Especially there.
You've got to outsource these jobs,
yeah,
these hand jobs.
Taking away good jobs from good Americans.
That's right.
Hardworking Americans. So he could be punished by the NFL, too. The league's commissioner will wait out the legal case before disciplining Kraft.
Did he get oral? Was that his thing?
They said he was there for, what, less than 15 minutes, and I don't think oral was specified.
For some reason, Max Apatic can check, but there is some oral something to that.
Does it make a difference?
I don't know. I know that oral, I think, can be sodomy. I don't know.
Under the letter of the law.
Falls under the letter of sodomy, and I don't know if the handy
maybe
falls
I don't know
under
what sodomy is.
Letter. Yeah.
Supposedly there's hidden camera footage of Robert Kraft, quote, having prostitutes manipulate his genitals and perform oral sex on him.
There it is.
Manipulate.
You're not as great as you think you are.
Hey,
now go get me that drink.
I'm sure having a lot of fun painting this fence. You want to pay me $5 to paint it as well? Or, oh, boy, you're missing out on a fun day.
She Tom Sawyered him?
Yeah, she Tom Sawyered his junk. Manipulated it. Oh, here's good. A roller. Yeah, go to town.
Penis sure is lonely. Fire by itself.
Oh, my God.
Is oral sodomy Maxipad in the eyes of the law?
What do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I thought sodomy was...
I know you did.
I know. I think
that's
under the letter of the law.
Everyone does.
Yeah. Huh.
That's why it's fun.
Thanks for taking the deeper dive.
To get oral and just say accused of sodomy and walk out of the room.
Oy vey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Wikipedia has it as sodomy is generally anal or oral sex.
Yeah, it is.
They should really... The sodomy PR people need to really get to work.
This is like when the movie concession stand just has a small and a large. You want to put a medium like intercourse in there?
Mm-hmm. Be nice.
Like, what are we doing? We're going blowjobs and anal rape. Okay, but what about in between? What about a medium? Yeah. No, that's
sir. That's the entire menu.
Yeah, that's just intercourse. Okay. That's not sodomy. This is sodomy. That's sodomy.
I don't feel satisfied with either of these options.
Mom, I showed you the menu.
Why isn't intercourse sodomy if anal sodomy and then oral sodomy? All right. Anyway. But handy, no sodomy. Mm. All right.
Yeah, it may also mean just any non-procreative sexual activity.
Oh, non-procreative. Yeah.
So handy. It's all sodomy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, speaking of the NFL, the 3 Super Bowl rings are apparently not enough. They are enough for Rob Gronkowski. The New England Patriots star announced via Instagram on Sunday he's retiring after 9 seasons. Gronk, as he's known by his fans, is only 29 years old. But he's played hard and he's suffered plenty of injuries during his career. They include back injuries, knee, forearm, groin. That caused him to miss 29 regular season games over his career. He also racked up several honors, including being named the NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 2013, as well as 5 Pro Bowl invites and 4 first-team All-Pro appearances.
He's going to go into WWE, right?
Oh. You'd have to.
These guys all just get... Yeah. Everyone just gets rich doing that, right?
Gronk especially. He's a persona as much as he is an athlete. I mean, he's one of the all-time greatest to play the game at that position.
Yeah, and he says, you know, he doesn't know what's next for him, so maybe he's...
WWE.
It has to be.
Has to be. He's always grabbing at his girlfriend, man.
Although... I can see him do endorsements, too. He does a lot of endorsements anyway, but like he's an affable guy and kind of an everyman. Everyone kind of, you know, likes him.
Yeah, he's kind of Blazing Saddles Mongo. He's like a Latter-day Mongo. Like everyone loves that
man-child
guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Baby Huey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Studies show security systems deter burglars, but they're still a burglary. Every 8 seconds. Let's not have them hit your house. Burglars don't give up because some houses have a security system. They find houses that aren't protected, and that's where Simply Safe comes in. They believe fear has no place in your place called home. Ridiculously smart. It has sensors, protect every point of access to your home, and ear-shattering sirens. Some of them, if somebody breaks in, 24/7 monitoring. Just $14.99 a month. No long-term lock-in contracts. Go with the only home security I trust, Simply Safe, two I's in there. Visit simplysafeadam.com today. These guys are great. Peel and stick, up and running under an hour, no drilling or pulling wires. SimplySafeAdam.com. Simply Safe. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
All right, well, Barbara Streisand addressed the backlash she incurred over comments about Michael Jackson and the singer's alleged victims of sexual abuse. Don't know if you heard her quotes from this yet, but no. Streisand originally told the Times of London in a recent response to Leaving Neverland, quote, "You can say molested, but those children were thrilled to be with Jackson. They both married and they both have children, so the sexual abuse didn't kill them." She excused Jackson
talking for a while.
She also said, "His sexual needs were his sexual needs. I blame the parents. Who would allow their children to sleep with Michael?" On Sunday, Babs...
Can I say this? There needs to be some sort of... It's a new world order where we're going to... I have to invent some sort of device, and like a canary in the coal mine, a smoke detector, carbon monoxide, the silent killer. You know what I mean? Like a little thing the size of a smoke detector. And when you're doing an interview, you just set it on there. They start hearing combinations like kids, no, and no harm, no foul. And things. Drop the digit, but that was then, this is now. Like, they start hearing combinations of words like they do on, like, the terrorist watch list. You know, right. They just listen. Yeah. If they hear Al-Qaeda and vest and rusty nail or something, a flag goes off. Just, you put in words. Kids, pedophilia, no problemo, like things like
Jesus
that.
Jesus juice.
Yeah, you start hearing combos of that.
That's good.
You start also do like, you get number, you get names like Weinstein, and then you get like dear friend and stuff like that. And you just start, and that thing just goes off. Because the problem
is what did he do wrong?
Right.
Whole phrases.
You start doing interviews, and the person that's sitting there, first to you, they're leading you down that path. Yeah. Oh, what about this whole Michael? Everything's very casual. Mm-hmm. And then you go, Michael Jackson, he's a hero. Those kids had it coming. They'll nod their head. Oh, yeah.
Tell me more.
No, yeah, that's right. They certainly did. They don't go like, oh, my God, you better stop talking. They go, yeah, I always kind of felt the same way. And they're asking for it.
Right?
Yeah, they're eight and a half. You should know better by then. And then they go, well, tell us more. And then they're nodding their head. And they're
go
like,
on.
Right. And all they're doing is leading you further and further. Yeah, and their mind is going insane. Like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get to my editor with this crap that is going to stop the presses. But they're going, yeah, I agree.
Bring up a good point.
But, yeah, kids, kind of on them. Kind of on them. Anyway, keep going. And if we had my new... publicist BS detector, my new publicist thing that keep these guys, that would go off because you'd hear a combination. Yeah. What were the words again?
She said, you can say molested, but those children are thrilled.
You hear the word molest. It's already on double secret probation. Like its ears are perked up. You hear molest and those kids deserve, and boom.
Yeah, it didn't kill them.
Yeah, yeah. And what it does is it has a little smoke pod that just poof. Like, oh, my God, the room's on fire. Some wiring's gone bad or something. We better clear it out of here.
Keep going with the Babs quotes.
His sexual needs were his sexual needs. I blame the parents. Why would they allow them to sleep with Michael in the first place?
That's right. Just bring it in every room, 9-volt battery, just set it down.
Good. That's really good.
Hey, when the reporter does that move or they take the recording device and they just set it down on the table, you take your publicist device, you just set it down right next
to
theirs.
That's good.
That's right. Then you can start speaking freely.
That's great. Well, she did have a few days to think about what she said, and she revised it a little bit. Mm. She said, I didn't mean to dismiss the trauma these boys experience. Like all survivors of sexual assault, they will have to carry this for the rest of their lives.
That's the publicist cooking up a little. There you go. Read this. Here we go. Yeah.
Meanwhile, within the same day or two, Diana Ross had some things to say. She tweeted support for Michael.
Jesus.
She says, this is what's on my heart this morning. I believe and trust that Michael Jackson was and is a magnificent, incredible force to me and many others.
By the way,
all caps, stop in the name of love.
You know how Michael Jackson's head caught on fire?
Yeah. Pepsi.
Right. Shouldn't Diana Ross's head have caught on fire at some point?
I think she
is a Roman candle. Yeah. She is kindling.
She has a lot of it.
She's dry brush, man. She is at birthday parties, especially like the sparklers on the cake and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Question. At this age, is she rocking a wig? Because that could be fire retardant.
Oh,
that's a good point.
I don't know, but I mean, that hair, she's ready to go up. She cannot blow out candles. She cannot kindle the Sabbath candle. She can't. How come there's no stories of her head? Dan Haggerty's head caught on fire. That's right. Grizzly Adams.
Look it up.
That big old hair and a big beard, you know, and he's like at a party. He's like blown out. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Head went right on fire.
How come this never happened to Elaine Boozler?
Oh, man.
Right?
Oh, man. Should her hair have caught on fire? All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. That's great. Hey, bye.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castro Ledge, last but not least, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% due to friction. Castro Ledge, fluid titanium technology. Three times stronger.
Three times, fool.
It's viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetics. Jeff Cesario's on tomorrow. We look forward to that. I got live shows everywhere. San Francisco, Sacramento, Brea, Denver. Just go to amcroll.com and find a theater near you. Also, I want to thank Christy Bishop for coming in, Jordan Harbinger for calling in. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll. Oh, good sports coming up next. Adam Krover, Christy Bishop, Jordan Harbinger, Gina Grad, Bob Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
I really want you, and I want you now.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports, Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming right up.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. March Madness. We'll talk about that, I think, tomorrow. Let's dig in on that sort of thing. But, you know, Ace, I want to talk about some of the, I guess, fringe. I don't know, fringe. They're not the four major sports. But first of all, the sport of pool. Is it fair to call that a sport?
I guess if we can, I guess if bowling and golf and things of that nature can be sports and pool can.
Well,
archery.
It's come to my attention. I was misreading it. Maybe it's subtle. Maybe it's neither here nor there. But you know the car commercials everybody talks about with McConaughey? Mm-hmm. The one where he's shooting stick, and he's, you've seen this one, where he's putting the jazz on the ball there. What's that called when you do that? The English or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the party goers, they're around the corner. Like they're not going to inhabit his space. He's doing work in there. And they're like, I've never seen that before. I have recently been made aware by a couple of trusted sources that is not McConaughey throwing a party. He's just a guest in someone else's home, and everyone else, I guess dutifully, because he's a celebrity or something, they just like, well, don't bother the celebrity. He's a guest in someone else's home. What? I think this is outrageous behavior on everyone's part. It's not whether or not someone's shameful. It's who's the most shameful in this scenario.
Well, I got a couple of thoughts. One is there is a very dangerous combination, which is in 2019, which is, you know, Dr. Drew talks about, well, if you mix fentanyl with sleeping medication, you know, you could wake up dead. Far bigger problem than that. Owning a pool table with crazy narcissistic parents and their narcissistic kids, and you see them playing on your pool table, and their 6-7-year-old son is beating the felt. Like he's literally,
so right.
He's grabbing a pool cue, the felt is tip has busted off the pool cue, and he's stabbing. He's stabbing the felt, and the dad is just standing there looking at him. And now you're in this weird thing of disciplining other people's
But you have
kids.
To do it with like a lilt in your voice.
Hey, boy.
Hey, why watch it there, Sethy. Not your pool table. That cost Uncle Adam a lot of money there.
Yes. Now, McConaughey, I am convinced I have a theory. I'm going to put together. You do your fruit of the year. Uh-huh. You have many. Obviously, you're legendary and held in such high regard. I want to put together my, I'm going to call it my secret dingbat list. Hmm. I'm convinced McConaughey is a stoner dingbat who happens to look cool.
That's not that big a reach.
No,
there.
But we've decided he's the Messiah. Like he's come down from the mountain with his tablets, and we're all gonna.
It's kind of true.
We're
you're
all
right.
gonna kneel at the hem of his garment and have him impose his wisdom on us. I think that guy's a stoner idiot who happens to look smart, and he crafts these commercials. I got De Niro, Brad Pitt, and Bruce Springsteen on my list, too, of guys who really aren't very smart. So they do. By the way, all their talk is like, there's a lot of hardworking folk out there out of work. A
little grizzle to your
After
voice.
They shut the mill down, they had nowhere to go. Like, oh, why? He's a genius. Are you telling me when they shut down a huge factory, the people that worked at the factory don't get to work at that factory anymore? Hold on. Does this hold true for schools and airports? I got to write this down. They say a bunch of sweeping bullshit, and they look good saying it.
And you break it up
yeah.
halfway through the yeah. thought, and it gives it added depth.
And they do, they'll add something about their dad telling them. You know, when the mill shuts down, man got nowhere to go. But not on weekends, right? Like, they just say it works. It's insane.
Man doesn't have his dignity.
Everyone just thinks they're genius. And by the way, when they do really start flapping their gums, like De Niro lately's talking a little more, he quickly exposed as a ass is like a doofus, like he doesn't know anything.
It is super weird, as a side note as far as that goes, that Robert De Niro, every time he's on Saturday Night Live, the greatest actor of all time, some would say, can't learn like two lines. What's the inconsistency here?
I
by the way, don't think we marvel enough as a society because we resent highly paid actors who happen to be pretty to look at. But it is at some point you've done it for a movie, had to learn lines. It's hard to do. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that paradox, but I also don't get the best of all time can't learn any lines.
Yeah. Well, McConaughey. I'm sure if you hung out with him, you'd probably tell him to shut up like three times. You were watching, like, hey, Matt, I'm watching TV. Can you shut up? So I'm convinced he's dumb, but he's cool and he looks cool and he bathes in it. And he's created this crazy campaign about him being the Black Widow with a pool cue, him being friends with all the cool blues singers in town. And everything he does is like, I'm not going to talk. But you're going to see a lot of pictures of me thinking.
It's exactly right. Well, I don't think he's thinking about shit, by the way.
But he looks contraire. Like he's thinking.
Au contraire. He's definitely thinking. He's thinking about how splendid he is and how much better the world is because he's in it. That introspective kind of, right. He like thinks himself, he leaves this party. I thought he was at home. Then he gets in the car. But no, he is like, you can see after he does his pool shots and everything, he's sitting in the car at dusk, and he's thinking to himself, hey, killer, you did it again.
Yes. Here's how I know. Also, the only thing more diabolical than coming up with a campaign, whether it's Wild Turkey or Lincoln, where they just back a Brinks truck up to your house and it hits another Brinks truck that just dropped off the load and is backing down the driveway. The only thing more diabolical than that is the silence. Because, as any actor will tell you, including Bobby De Niro, the only part of acting that really blows is the homework part, where they give you 40 pages and they go, now commit this to memory. It sucks. I mean, you're back in the eighth grade, like having your worst day.
But relatively unintelligent people who skip school and everything else, there is an incongruity that those people are learning the lines because we assume they're all not terribly bright. Some actors are smart, some are not.
Can I tell you how it works? I will tell you how it works.
Please do.
Find the Rotten Tomatoes score of Surfer Dude. Here's how you know McConaughey's a Dumbo. And I'm telling you, look, maybe this is convenient for me because I have written and directed and starred in movies that are well-regarded, and he did one. He did one on his own. He, like, wrote it and starred in it or directed it or whatever. It's embarrassingly bad. And you can't go, well, maybe I had a bad day. No, no. He's, when you star in a movie and you direct it or you write it, and that's your movie, and if it sucks,
ooh, that would be,
you're bad.
If I wish there was a zillionaire out there who could say, we're going to figure out who the greatest entertainer is who's living. Now everybody go off into your corner and make a feature film.
Right.
You know, have to do the whole thing.
You know who doesn't look smart but is 10 times as smart as McConaughey?
Adam Sandler.
James Woods.
Albert Brooks. Uh-huh. Albert Brooks doesn't look like he's thinking about things important when he's sitting in his Lincoln, but when he makes a movie called Defending Your Life or Discovering America or Lost in America, whatever, those are gems. When McConaughey makes Surfer Dude, it's embarrassing. Yes. Sorry.
0%.
0%.
Is that right?
Getting 0% on Rotten Tomatoes is arguably harder than getting 100%.
I think it is.
I bet there's more 100%ers than there are zeros. It's hard to make a movie with zero redeeming value. I mean, listen, obviously if you get 9%, if you're Japanese, you kill yourself immediately. But zero? What did he do on Surfer Dude?
You mean what did his character do?
Well, no, did he write it? Did credits. He direct it? What would he produce it? Like it was part
it doesn't look
of
like,
it.
It doesn't look like he did not direct it. He did not write it. It doesn't list producers here, but I'll look a little deeper.
I think it's his movie, or like he wanted to make that movie.
It's amazing.
Like a friend of
True
his
Detective
something.
For McConaughey equals Pulp Fiction for Travolta. People who had been forgotten and now were resurrected and made way more relevant or imbued with characteristics that they may or may not have deserved.
0%. What did the audience score have it at?
25. But that's based on like 7,500 people. So
yeah, well, 25 is nothing to write home. But audience is usually way more generous if they like. They'll go, zero. You know, the critics had it at 39, but we got it at 75. Oh,
maybe they made a stop at MedMen in advance of seeing the movie.
I shall tell you that. And I'll tell you, as a guy who starred in a half-hour sitcom that was in every single scene, a live-action a sitcom, four-camera, multicam, in front of an audience sitcom, who was in every scene. I'm pointing at myself. Had to do literally 41 pages of dialogue committed to memory. I will tell you how you do it on the next show.
Ooh,
first, I will tell
that.
You about MedMen. Have you seen, now, speaking of someone who's not a hack, Spike Jonze with a Z has directed a new video, and it's on MedMen.com, and it's only 2 minutes long, and it's the new normal, and it is an inspiring piece of work, and you can watch this video and experience the new normal at MedMen.com. Just 120 seconds. It'll be the best 2 minutes of your life, and again, the video is inspiring, people, and it's done by the genius Spike Jonze, and you can watch it at MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com, and enjoy that video. Yes, Gary?
He is a producer on the film.
Okay. I just remember that as his film, or like a project he wanted to do.
Yes.
What year did that come out?
Oh, 708.
Oh, wait.
Oh, really?
Like,
wow.
Like
that. So that real, I mean, True Detective really did bring him back.
Zero.
Correct. He was kind of done. He was out of the industry. All right.
Woody Harrelson was also in this film with him.
Shocker.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, another guy I'll put on that list.
All right. We'll hear the conclusion of how you learn your lines for all you aspiring actors out there. Also talk some March Madness. We'll do that on the next Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out.
Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by producer Chris and superfan Giovanni, released on Saturdays, I believe. Come out to the 1010 E Booze and Book Club with Buck Storm in a reading from The Miracle Man Tuesday night. a week from tonight at 10 a.m. downtown Los Angeles. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.